I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Director David Lowery, director of A Ghost Story in theaters now. Thank you for coming on Gavin Grades of the Movies, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I need to say right off the bat, when I sat down for A Ghost Story, I had absolutely no idea what I was in store for. And I don't think I've been as pleased with a film in recent memory that I had no expectations for going into as I was for your film.
That's wonderful. I mean, I always tell people before they see it, like, just cast all expectations out of your mind and you'll enjoy it even more, because it really does, even for me, sort of defeat those expectations very quickly.
Was that kind of the intention?
It wasn't the intention, but I knew going into it from the get-go that this would be a movie that was, for better or worse, very unique. And I wanted to make something that would make me happy as a moviegoer. If I were to go see this, this would, you know, surprise me and provoke me and make me feel like I was seeing something I'd never seen before. And that is what I seek out when I go to the movies, which is my favorite thing to do. And I wanted to make something that would satisfy me more than anybody else. I wanted to make a movie that I would like going to watch. And I'm glad that other people also enjoy what I like.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I have definitely never seen anything like that. Now, you shouldn't. I feel like advertising can be sometimes misleading, and sometimes it's done intentionally. And the trailers for Ghost Story make it seem like it might be a movie about a woman dealing with the death of her husband, as the husband is kind of forced to watch from the afterlife. But it's not that, and I don't want to say too much about it, because it was one of those things where I was really pleased at the direction that it took, but it is very much from the ghost's perspective, but it is a way broader story than I ever could have imagined it was going to be, and I think that's really brilliant. But that must have made it difficult to pitch to people for financing. I mean, what kind of problems did you have going into it for that?
Well, for once, and probably the only time in my career, we had absolutely no problem whatsoever, because my producer partner, Toby Hobrix, and I, we financed the movie ourselves with two other friends. And we just, you know, we didn't want to spend time trying to pitch it because we knew it would be difficult. So we were just like, let's just make this as efficiently as possible and just do it on our own terms. And that's how we were able to do it so quickly and just get it up and running so quickly, was because we just didn't have to go talk to anybody about it.
So how much money did you raise? How much did it actually cost?
We're at that point where we're still not supposed to say how much it cost. It was like, it was very, very inexpensive. I mean, it was like, you know, my last movie was a Disney movie, and this cost far less than one day of photography on that movie. So it was very micro budget.
Oh, that's super impressive. I mean, the whole thing feels eerie, and the whole thing, to me, there were parts of it that were extraordinarily sad. Do you view it as a sad film, or do you view it? What emotion were you feeling when making A Ghost Story?
Well, while I was making it, it's weird. When you're making something, you sort of forget about how emotional it might be because you're so focused on the technical things or the schedule. And it's very rare when I'm actually shooting that I can get caught up in the emotion of the film that I'm making. So it wasn't until it was done, you know, as we were finishing the movie for Sundance last December, that I watched it all the way through and actually had an emotional experience. And what I was hoping was that it would encompass all sorts of emotions. I feel it's a movie that allows you to laugh at the beginning, and that laughter then it opens the door for all sorts of other feelings, and that encompasses sadness and fear, and ultimately, I think, relief and a little bit of hope. I find the ending very comforting. But someone pointed out that the movie sort of tracks the five stages of grief, and I didn't do that intentionally, but I think it kind of does follow that pattern in terms of what the ghost journey is.
Yeah, so I mean, not to get too dark, but my daughter passed away, and watching the film, I don't want to say that it was cathartic watching it, but it gives you a perspective of the afterlife. Because for anybody who's ever lost any loved one, but especially a child, you want to believe that they're still part of your life. And one of the and remember, I loved this film, but one of the things that was very tragic for me as the father of a child that's no longer alive is seeing a film from the afterlife's perspective that shows sometimes that it's tragic and it's sad and in some cases never ending or it's a perspective that is certainly unique, but it's almost funny to me that you couldn't have thought like, wow, this is going to be really sad. Like the scene where the two ghosts are talking to each other, I don't want to say what is said, but it's a short scene. And at first, I'm sure you know that, but it'll get a chuckle at first. But by the end of that scene, it made me tear up big time. I mean, was that the intention of that scene?
No, but it's something that just kept happening. And the intention of that scene was indeed a little bit of comic relief. I just wanted to allow audiences again to be able to laugh. And it just naturally wound up taking this very sad turn, even while we were shooting it, before that dialogue was in there, because, you know, obviously we shot it without the dialogue there, as audiences will discover why when they see it.
Right.
But while we were shooting it, just that degree of connectivity the two characters had started off being very charming, and it made us laugh. But as we shot the scene and the way we were shooting it, it just took on the sadness and that image of the ghost across the way, you know, at the house next door, just standing in that window was very, very sad and melancholy. And the thing that I was thinking about was that, you know, telling a story from the ghost perspective is inherently sad. It's inherently, you know, from a human perspective, the idea that our loved ones stick around is comforting, and it helps us, I think, you know, just feel better about that loss. But if you look at it from the flip side, there's that sense that, you know, those loved ones don't belong here anymore. This is the world for the living. This world is for the living, and it's time. There's a sense that it's time to move on.
Right.
Telling a story from that perspective. And I wanted to give this character, you know, a chance to move on that he turns down at the beginning of the movie. And then the rest of the film is all about him just realizing that he doesn't belong here anymore. He needs to let go. He needs to go to whatever is next.
And that is the
perspective for him as a spirit in the afterlife.
So by seeing that other one, it's like the cautionary future of him, you know, for the last line. I don't want to say what that last line is, but man, it's a gut punch when you see it. At least it was for me. So I'm sure people have been asking this, but I haven't heard the answer. Is Casey Affleck under the sheet in every shot?
It's sort of a not that exciting answer, which is that he's under it a lot of the time, but not every shot.
Okay.
And it's impossible to like quantify, like say which one he is, because it ultimately didn't matter. We realized while we were shooting that it could have been anyone, but it was important to us and it was important to Casey that he wear that sheet. So the times that he wasn't under there, he was a little bit upset that we were bequeathing his garment to somebody else.
So for the black underneath the sheet, though, because like it's such a simple thing. It's just a white sheet with black eyes. But, you know, I'm looking at it during certain scenes. And is it like a black, almost like a Muslim, like underneath that they wore? Were there eyes in those holes at any point during shooting?
No, you're exactly right. It's like a black muslin under there that you can see through a little bit. But beyond just, you know, that, it's an entire helmet that holds the faces, you know, keeps the face intact. Because if you just put a bed sheet over your head, the eyes turn to slits very quickly and they fall out of alignment. And so we had to have an immense amount of structure underneath the sheet to keep the shape of the ghost intact and to keep his face symmetrical and to keep those eyes looking like eyes. And so it was a very complex costume, a very uncomfortable costume, and we were shooting in Texas, and, you know, in 110 degree heat. So it wasn't exactly the most pleasant outfit to wear, but all that was required to make it look as simple as it looks. It's not even really a bed sheet. Bed sheets don't cover a human from head to toe. So we had to build these giant, you know, bolts of fabric from scratch that would be just the right weight and just the right color and hang just the right way. So To achieve that simplicity required an immense amount of work for my costume designer, Annelle Broder, who did a wonderful job.
I didn't know any of that, and I'm thrilled to hear that. I hope that A Ghost Story gets nominated for Best Costume, because I want people all over America to be like, it's just a sheet. And then hopefully a quick Google search will lead them to this interview and find out, no, it's way effing more complicated than what you think it is.
I'd be thrilled if that happened, and I think it's well deserved.
I didn't know about any of that, and to go through that much effort to make something so simple appearing, I think is brilliant. Real fast, I know we're running out of time. You brought up, you know, the Disney film was Pete's Dragon, which I loved. I mean, the opening 5 minutes of Pete's Dragon, I actually thought could have been a standalone short film. The opening scene actually made me cry when I saw that. But what you have coming up, you're doing it again, and you're doing another live action adaptation, which is Peter Pan. And what is it about that go ahead. Sorry. I just wanted to know what it was about that project that drew you to it.
You know, well, first of all, I've had a great experience working with Disney. I mean, I love Pete's Dragon. They love it. We really just had a great time making it, and we wanted to, you know, stick together and make another film together as quickly as possible. And that was one of the, you know, they're, you know, going back in their library and making new versions of all the classic animated films, and that was one that was on the docket. And I've always loved that movie. I've been obsessed with the idea of not growing up since I was a kid, as many children and children at heart are. And so it was like a natural fit. It just felt like the right one to make. And I don't know when it's going to happen exactly. We're still working on the screenplay, but that's definitely, you know, I've got the script open in my hotel room right now, and I'm working away at it.
Is it going to be a musical?
It probably will not be. You know, the original cartoon had very little music in it. There's like the one musical number, We Can Fly, and I'm sure that will make an appearance. And then the other musical numbers in the film are probably best left untalked about, because they don't exactly conform to our modern standards of what is appropriate.
Right. So, you're talking about the Indian song, which is so easy to get stuck in somebody's head, and then they sing it out loud, and then people look at them, with hateful eyes.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible song.
Well, that, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. Are you going to make it? Are you kind of, I don't want to say that, you know, it's your films have like a melancholy that run through them, but they're I don't know what emotion I'm trying to get through to that. But is Peter Pan going to feel a lot like Pete's Dragon, where it's going to be small and there's going to be I found a sadness to it? Or is Peter Pan going to be hopeful and effervescent?
I wish I could say it would, but I look at Peter Pan and I see a very melancholy story, and that's my perspective. And so I mean, there will be humor in it, and it'll make people delighted and laugh, but there's an inherent melancholy to the concept of a boy who chooses not to grow up. And
right.
At the end of the film, as we all know, you know, he does not stay in London with Wendy. He goes back to Neverland, and that's there's a sadness to that, and I can't help but lean into that.
Well, David, you're a great director, and I really love your films. I got to give Disney a lot of credit as well for taking a risk with somebody like you, where they could easily just find somebody that'll make a happy-go-lucky Peter Pan movie, and, you know, just something that's for popcorn chompers, and that's about it. But I appreciate that they are taking a risk with somebody like you that will do a film with emotion that audiences may not feel great about afterwards, but will be appreciative of what they see.
I love that they are open to that as well. I mean, it's just, that means so much to me. And they're such great fans of cinema at that studio. And I think, you know, they want to make all types of films under the Disney banner. And so I applaud them for being, you know, open to my version of Disney classics.
Yeah. David Lowery, dude, thank you so much. Sorry about all the technical problems and making you wait, but I appreciate you hanging on for me. A Ghost Story is in theaters now. I really hope that it pops up again Oscar season, because it's an important film that I feel like a lot of people should watch. Thank you for coming on Gavin Grades the Movies, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.